and it reduces how much food overall has to be produced, processed, and trucked, all of which creates carbon pollution. So there are multiple benefits to putting Hollywood's leftovers to good use. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
You're listening to an end-of-the-year membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-801-1378. Our production team for tonight's newscast includes Dave Johnson and Hannah Francis. The producer and engineer is Althea Billings. Special thanks to Crystal Blair, Antonia Gonzalez, Edwin J. Vieira, Laura Hatch, Judith Ruiz Branch, and Dr. Anthony Lysowitz. The director of Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Eric Leuschner.
And I'm Dave Johnson. All our KBOO programs are made possible by support from our members. KBOO is currently in our end-of-year fundraising drive, and our goal is to raise $75,000 by December 31st. If you'd like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for KBOO News in Depth.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
For KBOO News in Depth, I'm Hannah Francis. I'm joined by Simon, the U.S. Coordinator of Friends of the Filipino People in Struggle. Hello, Simon. Thanks so much for being here with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course. So first, could you just give me a brief summary of Friends of Filipino People in Struggle and its sibling organizations?
Sure, yeah. So the Friends of the Filipino People in Struggle is a global organization of non-Filipinos who are all united in the belief that the Filipino people have a right to struggle for their liberation. And so we are committed to supporting, in particular, the National Democratic Front of the Philippines as the genuine representative of the Filipino people. And their 12-point program for liberation, for national democracy in the Philippines. Here in Portland, one of our member organizations and one of our first member organizations in the U.S. actually is People Organizing for Philippine Solidarity, or POPS. And so, yeah, that's mostly who I will be kind of talking or speaking for today.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Could you tell me about the 12-point program before we get into the events?
Sure. Yeah. So the 12-point program, I like to describe it as a roadmap for national and social liberation for the Filipino people. So the National Democratic Front of the Philippines and their allied organizations have been able to, over the past 52 years now, have been able to lay out a very clear sort of, like I said, like a roadmap to achieving the demands of the Filipino people for national sovereignty and genuine democracy.
And then there's a big celebration coming up. What's the occasion for this celebration on December 10th?
Yeah, so December 10th is recognized by the United Nations as International Human Rights Day. And one of our sibling organizations, Good Friends, the Portland Committee for Human Rights in the Philippines, is holding a 20th anniversary celebration on December 10th. So they came together in 2005. This was about 1 year after a large massacre, a crackdown that happened in Central Luzon, sort of the northern central part of the Philippines, on a large sugar plantation in which many sugar workers were demanding their right to their land. They held a protest and a picket and were violently repressed by the police, and seven people were killed in that massacre. So since 2005, since a year after that, some folks went on a fact-finding mission to that sugar plantation, Hacienda Luisita, and they came back and they founded the Portland Committee for Human Rights in the Philippines, which since then, since 2005, has really been leading and holding a lot of the work of organizing both Filipinos and non-Filipinos around broad human rights concerns in the Philippines.
Thank you. We'll come back to when exactly that event is, but before that, there's a couple of other events, including a teach-in and a benefit concert. So can you tell me about both of these events?
Yeah, I'm super excited for all of them. And really, these first two are kind of meant to build up to our December 10th celebration with the Portland Committee for Human Rights in the Philippines. So December 3rd, from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll be hosting a teach-in. The title is Our Spirit Will Break the Bars. So December 3rd is actually the International Day of Solidarity with Political Prisoners. And in the Philippines, currently, there are over 700 detained political prisoners, including those who are actually supposed to be protected under an agreement between the National Democratic Front of the Philippines and the government of the Republic of the Philippines. So we'll talk about the situation for political prisoners in the Philippines. We'll also really want to be drawing parallels between what's happening for political prisoners in the Philippines, what's happening for migrants facing detention here in the U.S., what's happening for Palestinian political prisoners who we know face really horrific conditions in Israeli jails. And really what I think is most important is what we will actually highlight the stories of individual political prisoners and who they are, you know, really give some voice to them who have had their voice kind of cut off by the prison bars. So that will be this December 3rd, Wednesday, from 6 to 8 p.m. And it will be, we have not actually released the location yet, but it will be on the Portland State University campus. And there's a registration link for that that I can share. tinyurl.com/freetheprisoners. And there's no case sensitivity there or anything like that. So that's one that we're really excited about, and hoping to really build those links of solidarity among people who have concerns about the detention of migrants here and the unjust detention of Palestinian prisoners in Israeli prisons too. And then, yeah, on Friday, December 5th, we're so lucky to have had some local bands in the broader, I use punk loosely because I don't know that they would all describe themselves as punk bands necessarily, but punk, hardcore, DIY bands. We have Kill Michael, Lab Rat, and Raw Force performing at the High Limit Room in Southeast Portland. It's at like 7th and Hawthorne, Southeast Portland. And that's an all-ages show. And it's a benefit for not only our organization, but the organizations that we partner with and serve. So that includes migrant Filipino-led organizations here in Portland. And it also includes, I'm sure many people have heard on the news recently, especially if they're KBOO listeners, that the Philippines was hit by really significant typhoons this year, especially earlier this month in November. And so we're doing, some of the fundraising will be directly earmarked for those doing relief work on the ground for people who have lost their homes and lost their livelihood. Yeah, so that's what's happening on December 5th.
Amazing, thank you so much. And then, so both of these events are their own separate events, of course, but they're kind of leading up to this 20th year anniversary celebration. Can you tell me more about where and when this celebration will be?
Yeah, so the celebration will be on December 10th, International Human Rights Day, from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. And We are still holding on to the location, confirming the last, like crossing the last T's and dotting the last I's. But there's also a registration link for that. And that's tinyurl.com/PCHRP20YEARS or PCHRP 20 years. And so it will really be a celebration of what PCHRP has been able to do over the last 20 years. We'll get to look at the history of this organization that really, it really birthed a lot of the movement here in Portland for the Philippines, and really led the way in organizing, like I said, Filipinos and non-Filipinos around broad human rights concerns in the Philippines. And then we'll also look ahead to the coming year and the campaign work that we have to do moving ahead.
I'd also love to know how you're hoping that people will show up to this event.
Yeah, I think just come. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring your neighbor, and come ready to learn, ready to be inspired by stories of hope and resistance, really stories of what, to me, embody optimism in the face of overwhelming odds, and take that hope and then turn it into action. So we, of course, want as many people as possible to come to this celebration. And we don't want it to end on December 10th either. At 8:30 p.m. when everyone leaves, we want people to leave feeling like they are ready to take more action alongside us. Yeah.
Yeah. So what could you say to someone who's never been to one of these events to like let them know sort of like what to expect and like what the climate is as far as like welcoming new people in?
Yeah, well, we believe that this work doesn't work without all of us. And we believe that there is a place for everyone in this work. And so, and we believe that links of solidarity extend beyond borders, beyond education level, beyond ability or disability, beyond gender, sexual orientation, etc. That those links of solidarity, as we strengthen them, are really the what informs that optimism in the face of those overwhelming odds. So we, if you're brand new, if you're coming alone, let's say, expect someone to walk up and introduce themselves to you. Expect someone to come and say hello and ask how you heard about the event. And we'll definitely take note if people heard about it through KBOO. And expect someone to really want to connect with you on a human-to-human level. What are you concerned about? Because, of course, we're here for the Philippines and the struggle of the Filipino people, but we also know that solidarity is a two-way street, right? And so we would never expect someone to come without the concerns that they have for themselves and their community and who they're showing up for, right? So yeah, those are the things that I would expect. Yeah, I would also expect some music, possibly some karaoke, hopefully, some agitating speeches, yeah.
Amazing, thanks so much, Simon. Is there anything else that you'd like to say?
No, I think that's it. Thanks so much for the opportunity to connect. And I think, you know, in talking about those links of solidarity, like even though we're on Zoom and talking through a screen, this is how we build that solidarity, is through these connections that we're able to make. And so I'm just so grateful for the opportunity. Yeah.
For KBOO News in Depth, I'm Hannah Francis.
listening to KBOO News In Depth. I'm Althea Billings, your news director here at KBOO, popping in to let you know that this is the KBOO Fights Back end of year drive. Our goal is to raise $75,000 by the end of December, and we can't do it without you. Consider supporting us with a donation. It's very easy to do. You can go online to kboo.fm/give. You can text us. You can text the word KBOO, K-B-O-O, to 44321. You can also mail us a check. We love the mail. You can send that along to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. News In Depth is an opportunity for us to delve a little bit deeper into the things that are going on both in our local community and around the world. And it's produced by community members, volunteers, regular folks like you. It's a special program, and it's one that we want to keep on the air. So consider helping us out. kboo.fm/give.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You are listening to KBOO News In Depth. I'm Althea Billings. I'm joined by Gregory DeBruler, host of the global geopolitics podcast, The Conscious Hour, to talk about the presidential election in Honduras. As of time of recording, the race between the Trump-backed candidate and the centrist candidate is at a, quote, technical tie. Trump has alleged that there was possible fraud and that there, quote, will be hell to pay if the results are changed. Welcome to the show, Gregory.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and I'm glad I'm on independent news because the rest of the news won't want to tell a story.
Well, to start out here, would you mind telling our listeners about your relationship to Honduras and its presidential politics?
Sure. So in 2005, 2006, we invested heavily in Honduras because we wanted to build a holistic healing center and a residential community, et cetera. But because of the work I've done doing reform projects inside federal agencies, I got involved with Honduras because I couldn't understand why the people were living in such poverty. Anyways, in that journey, I ended up creating a strategic plan for the country. It was called Honduras is Open for Business. At that time, Juan Orlando was the president of Congress. So I flew into Tegucigalpa, I met with all the official leaders, and they said, let's do this, Honduras is open for business, which is a four-part plan. And what it was built on was building a democracy, meaning a representative government, but not only that, but to raise the income so people could actually survive and they wouldn't have to leave and come to the United States. So in that, then I got more involved with how can I help Honduras actually move forward and create a really stable economy and grow the economy.
Well, I appreciate that background. Let's turn to the current politics that are at stake right now. What's going on in this election?
So the cautionary measure where I'm at right now is we're repeating something in the past. And when you repeat something in the past that was corrupt then, you have to ask yourself the question, are they trying to play the same game? Here it is. In 2017, there was an election. The man that was running against Juan Orlando is Salvador Nasralla. He is a talk show host. He does game shows for kids. He does a sports announcement. So Salvador, everybody in the country knows him. They watch soccer. They hear Salvador's voice. They have kids. They watch the game shows he has. He's a really nice man. And so he was running against Juan Orlando. Traditionally, all the elections are usually called by Monday morning, Monday afternoon at the latest. But this one was suspicious in 2017. They said, well, they haven't quite counted all the votes in, and Australia's leading, but we have to count the votes. And they went to the Tuesday, and then they went to Wednesday. Well, by Wednesday, I knew, nope, the gig is up. And let me explain why I knew it was going to be corrupt and he was going to get back in. Okay, if you look at Honduras, there's two major cities, San Pedro Sula, which has about 1.4 million people, and Tegucigalpa says has about 1 million people. So then you have two outliers. You have La Ceiba and then the Bay Islands, which is a big influence because a lot of people vote there. So that's why usually by Monday at the latest, you have the election called, but they didn't. So by Wednesday, they kept saying that Nasrallah was ahead, And I was like talking to people saying, no, that the bridge, they're going to get Juan Orlando in. On Thursday afternoon, they announced Juan Orlando. But what was very interesting, I knew it was rigged, but then the Economist wrote an article on Friday of that week and released it. And they said, quote, it's statistically impossible for Juan Orlando to have won. Look where we are today. Deja vu. The same thing. When I called my contacts in Honduras right now, this morning, Najrela was up by 6%. Well, he should be done. Well, they've got a whole bunch of other votes going again. So now we have to think about Trump. Trump says, oh, no, I pardoned Juan Orlando, and he's coming back to the country. You say, wait a second. He is against drugs, right? He's going after Venezuela for drugs. He just pardoned Juan Orlando, who was the president. And Juan Orlando did a good job. He was a great person that could get the infrastructure built. But the narco connection is very clear. He's in the narco business. They busted his brother, Tony Hernandez, and they put him in prison for life. So I have to ask the question, what's the motive here? The motive is Trump says he's against drugs. Is he against drugs? Or is he just part of the system? And everybody knows if you go back to the Nicaragua-Iran-Contra scandal, we run through Central America $1.4 to $1.8 billion worth of drugs into the United States. It's called backdoor. It's backup. It's what we call off-book operations. We have a lot of projects we do around the world. We've been in the drug business for a long time. Look at Afghanistan. Look at Vietnam. All of that. So it's just a repetitive pattern. I'm hoping that Nasrallah gets in because he will build the country for the people, not for the special interests.
Well, like you mentioned, I wanted to touch on one of those points a little bit closer. Trump just days ago pardoned the former president of Honduras, Juan Orlando Hernandez, who was serving a 45-year sentence in the U.S. for drug trafficking. Does that put a finger on the scale, I guess?
Yeah, and what's really happening is this. There's a thing called Prospera, which are called charter cities. Originally, it was created in 2010. It was called Inatura. And a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, his son was actually writing this new future. So, but they changed it in Prospera to Prospera. Prospera are what they call future cities. And what it is countries allow these investors to come in and they really regulate themselves and they can build whatever they want. They can build an empire, but they want to do it because they want to increase, you know, the ability for the country for more tax revenue, supposedly. Well, I don't know if that's really what's going on because it creates a lot of other problems in that because it still is about the rich getting richer and the poor not being paid. And so in 2010, when I introduced the strategic plan to the government, I had a way that we could raise the minimum wage from, at that time, it was about $600 a month, $550, $540, to $1,000 a month. And I created a new economic plan for them. They didn't do it. And so I went, huh, interesting. They don't really want to change. And so this repetitive pattern, Juan Orlando's back. What's the deal? Well, the deal is, I believe, to keep the off-book operations running so they can have off-book operations and Trump and all the other investors can get a percentage of it. For me, I don't care about drugs. In fact, I introduced a plan to them about 4 years ago. It was an anti-corruption tracking system. And I also said to them, hey, look it. let's legalize drugs. Let's put drugs into the pharmacies. Let the pharmacies sell the drugs. They get tax revenue, and you can build an economy. Why are we hiding behind the scenes? Well, it's the way the old system works, and they're afraid to come out of the closet. For me, let's just put it on the books, put it into the pharmacies, and let people party. They do it anyways. So why are we keeping it illegal? It's this old, old world mentality.
What do you think is the most sort of important takeaway for listeners at home to understand about the contentious presidential election in Honduras?
The most important thing is this. Whew. Some grace tears to me. Just think of how many people in the United States who have been here most of their life or moved here because of the economic suppression in Central America, and now they're all being scooped up and thrown back to their country. For me, the shocker is this, that they won't get any better down there if Juan Orlando gets in. It'll continue the problem with drastic poverty. Can you imagine making $3.50 a day? That was the average wage between for a 10-year period of time per person of 61 to 68% of the population. If you do it the other way and you do what I'm suggesting and get Nasrallah in there, we can have a positive change for the people of Honduras, kind of like America. That's what we need.
Point of clarification, does Juan Orlando have ties to the current Trump-backed candidate?
Okay, the man that he's backing is Asfura, A-S-F-U-R-A, Tito Asfura.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that's running. He's a businessman. I mean, he's just another puppet, okay? He's a puppet for the established, you know, of the cartels. And you think about Honduras, there's lots of cartels, and there's cartels that have so much money that they stash it. And that's why I say legalize it. And I'll give you one more little just quick hit. Years ago, back a long time ago, there was a man by the name of Mata Bateras. This was like 1983. And remember, Iran-Contra, drug running, and all that stuff. Okay. Well, in 1983, Mata Bateras, the United States government wanted him. He went to the president of Honduras, and he said, how much do you owe the United States? At that time, the debt was $2 billion. And he said, I will give you $2 billion cash, and you can pay off the gringos and tell them to go home. They put him in jail. He was in jail for life, and he just died recently. One of the people that I know really well, he was the legal counsel for him, was trying to get him out, but I left the country, so I didn't get involved with that piece unless I left the country about 4 years ago.
Do you have any final thoughts? Anything else you wanted to mention?
I just want people to mention that we in the United States are at the most pivotal time in the history of our country, and sitting on the sofa, not speaking out, not calling congressional representatives, not demanding that we have an accountable government that represents the people, we can lose everything we have.
Well, Gregory, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us about this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kebu.
I've been speaking with Gregory Jabroler, the host of the podcast The Conscious Hour, about the presidential race in Honduras. You've been listening to Kebu News in Depth. I'm Althea Billings. Thanks for being with us.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
This is our KBOO Fights Back campaign. KBOO knows the importance of community media when we need it most. Help us reach our goal of $75,000 by December 31st. Join KBOO Community.